What's going on? It's the world famous Film Drunk Frotcast coming at you live once again from the Frot Quarters in San Francisco. We have got probably the best show that we've ever done. I mean, I don't know yet, but I'm just assuming that's what it's going to be. We're going to talk about a girl walks into a tree with her friend. No, a girl walks home alone at night. That's a movie that's on Netflix. We're going to talk about that. Let me just introduce the people sitting around the folding table today. That's what I call it. We call this Folding Table Studios. Mm-hmm. We got Mr. Matt Lieb.
Remember, you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same. Abusing my power, full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. I'm not going to do the whole poem.
What is that?
It's Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, okay. And
callback from last week.
That was great. Thanks for that. And then we also got Brett, who's here every week.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Get excited for my soon-to-be infamous face turn. That's what they call it.
What's a face turn?
It's when it's like the opposite of a heel turn.
Yeah.
Where you have the good guy become bad guy. That's the heel turn.
Oh.
And the opposite of that.
You're about to become the good guy?
I'm going
to
be the good guy. I had a revelation last week.
Oh.
That I'm terrible at podcasting. And that I make it so nobody can like me. And so that's all going to change.
You do try really hard.
I do. And
to make it so that people just despise you.
In a world of monsters and shills, I think I want to be a shill.
Okay. That's what the world is? That's the dichotomy.
Yeah. People are always trying to make it about Batman and the Joker. And it's not about like the Joker and Batman. It's the Joker and Ronald McDonald. And I want to be Ronald McDonald.
Right,
I want to save you from hunger. In like a clownish sort of way.
I resent that completely. Because
yeah,
it means this whole time you've been like, I'm a monster, but at least I'm not a shill like Lieb over here.
Lieb, have you ever said, I just want to make people laugh?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
It just warms my heart when people laugh. That's why I do it.
I want a slice of that idiot pie.
Oh, it's not idiot pie. It's just simple. I just have simple needs.
It's so good. It's got Thousand Island.
I just have simple needs. And Thousand Island is delicious, all right?
It is. I'll put it
Billions
on salad.
Billions of people can't be wrong.
I identify
You're like, oh,
those
people who hates people like, oh, you like ketchup? Yeah, ketchup's great.
See, old Brett would have been like, Thousand Island is bullshit. It's not even a real dressing. But new Brett is like, put that shit on everything.
There we go.
God, just load me up with Thousand Island dressing.
Wait, what about on In-N-Out? Do we count Thousand Island when it's on In-N-Out?
Guys,
yeah.
I think we can all agree.
Well, it's
I get
not even Thousand
I get
Island.
Extra spread on my In-N-Out.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree that fast food is delicious.
Wait, is that
and that watching stuff is fun.
Is that what the secret sauce is?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of Thousand Island-y, but it's not actually.
It's an open secret,
and
really.
You haven't introduced our guest today.
Yeah, Mr. O.J. Patterson.
Yeah.
He does courting comedy. He also designs video games and stuff.
Vince, turn up your mic.
Don't worry about it. You're not hearing what's going into the computer. I can see what's going into the computer.
The waveform is good?
He's scared.
Yes, it's good. It's good.
He's a genuine concern on his face.
No, but look at
bro,
it.
Don't ever turn up Vince's mic.
You're fine.
Never.
You're fine. It's fine.
Yeah, there it is.
We can hear it on the computer. As long as the computer can hear,
just look at the waveform. Make sure it's not peaking. Make sure it's not too small.
I'm
going to
ride
that
waveform.
Yeah, I'm going to peek out of it. I'm going to be like, hello.
So we have a new setup now in the studio. And the studio is now looking more and more like a real studio. And I know what real studios look like because I work in talk radio. And as someone,
he's the pro here. He thinks he comes in here, he starts throwing his weight around.
I am the pro. I make $15 every hour that I am there.
I wear a hammer strapped to my pants with a piece of leather. That's how important I am.
I'm pretty important. And I know. I'm Matt on the board. What do you think? And I'm just like,
yeah, yes.
Putting my thumbs up. No one can see it.
Wait, are you Mr. Scream?
I am Mr. I'm pretty much Mr. Scream, except
do,
for
do it. Give us one.
That was Vince. That was Vince.
That's great. I love that.
That was a change.
Oh God, it's just like slamming into reverse in fifth gear. Oh God, can we do some voices later?
I like it.
Gears
like
coming
it.
Out of your neck veins.
Just transmission shooting ahead on the freeway.
I hope you can. I hope you will be available to come to Red Lobster on Saturday with me because I want to see you eat Red Lobster and just watch you be a shill with me. Just be a shill.
A shill.
I fucking
shill.
Love Red Lobster. All right.
Yeah. Eat some shillfish.
Shillfish.
It's wait, delicious and buttery. Yum, 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 yum.
Wait, where is the nearest Red Lobster to San Francisco?
It's endless shrimp and pandering.
The nearest Red Lobster is in San Mateo.
Okay.
And I have pretty much a yearly tradition of having birthday dinners where I force my friends to eat Red Lobster.
Wow.
Why is it so hard to eat Red Lobster?
Here's the thing. I love Red Lobster.
They got Cheddar Bay biscuits.
A lot of people like it, but there's definitely like a focus on the biscuits, and a lot of people are like, just a salad, please. Just whatever. Good. And I'm like, well, no, just get the Admiral's Feast. the Admiral's Feast is delicious.
It's
you got
all
fried
the
shrimp.
Yeah.
You got other
crab
fried.
Leg. You got crab leg.
Yeah. You got it's Admiral's Feast is all fried. And it's delicious. And well, I was gonna say nutritious, but it's not nutritious. It's really bad for you, but it's super good.
Frying is not that bad. The badness, the non-nutritious, thing. Okay, no, the idea that frying is terrible. The idea that frying is terrible for you came to birth in the 80s when all fat was like terrible. Oh my god, fat! And then we've since learned that like fat is really not that big of a deal, especially fat from oil because it's all good fat.
Oh, well, I did not know that, and I feel even better about the Admiral's Feast. That
wait,
I will be
Vince, where'd you get that stethoscope?
Yeah.
Dr. Food over here.
I like your scrubs.
I borrowed it from a prostitute. She touched my bottom.
just listening to your ass crack.
You ever fart into a stethoscope?
Oh, man. I almost deafened myself.
Yeah.
That's like asking an elephant, like, hey, have you ever used your trunk to shoot water out of it? Of course. Of course I have.
Just pulling out the earpiece is totally straight face. My God.
You think of like a really weird elephant like puts his trunk back when he farts? Yeah. Just like, I gotta try this once.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, yes, pretty good.
I don't know if I told this story before to you guys, but when I was, it doesn't really matter that I was in Canada, but I was in Canada. And I was at the drugstore, and I was just walking around. I think I was trying to buy something travel-sized. Mm-hmm. And I'd just been eating burgers and, like, poutine all week. And I cut the biggest fart ever. Like, just one of those farts where you make yourself sick.
Yeah.
And as I'm doing it, I turn around, and I didn't realize, like, I wasn't alone. But there's, like, these two old Asian ladies, and they're both smelling deodorants. So, like, as I'm cutting one of the most disgusting farts of my life, I turn around to see two old Chinese ladies just breathing in deeply. And I think I gave myself a new fetish. Yeah. That's fucking awesome.
You looked at them like, I'm inside of you now. We are one.
Were they doing it because they knew you were farting and they only had a couple seconds to like brace their nostrils with whatever? Because that's some fucking ingenious shit where they're just like, oh no, quick, what's around?
They knew they were going to pass out, so that was just like a smelling salt for them.
It's like a burning building. They were putting a wet rag over their
face. That's what you do right before you open up a body bag of just a dead corpse.
Just whip on some Axe.
Yeah. All right, but topics. Right? Content.
Yeah.
Hashtag content.
Here's the thing I'm fond of. Content.
Hashtag content. You know.
It's a little sad watching you sell out.
Just the trickle of blood from my nose. I'm doing a great job. Doing a great job.
He's turning. It's going to be scanners here in a second.
The end. Your head's going to explode right when he's like, follow me on Facebook.
You pay for it with an app.
Donate to my Indiegogo. Man.
And then we're going to look away and we're going to turn around and Ben's going to be sitting there.
Yeah. He just pulls off a Brett mask. It's Ben this whole time.
Look, you guys are all just ants in the afterbirth. So
so Jeremy Renner, I don't know if you guys heard about this. Have you seen this? Have you heard about
this?
He's
a slut.
He got in trouble for calling Black Widow a slut.
Yeah.
And there's a lot
twice.
Of there's a lot of backlash.
Yeah, first he did it and then he got in trouble and then he went on Conan last night.
I have that clip.
And kind of doubled down.
Yeah, what they called the double down. Oh, don't play it out. He's pointing his microphone at the computer. It's not even where the speaker is.
What I like about you is you're very unguarded when you when you talk, you've been talking to the press, and you'll say all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
And you'll go for it. You'll go for a joke. You caused a bit of a controversy recently. You were talking to the press, and you called Black Widow a slut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's elaborate on that.
Yeah, it was a joke, off color or whatever. But yeah, I'm unapologetic about a lot of things. But I got in a lot of internet trouble. I guess that's a thing now you can get in.
The internet's a brand new thing. It's coming up on America.
Internet trouble is very much a thing.
But I was asked the questions like, so, you know, Black Widow's been linked to Hawkeye, Iron Man, Bruce Banner, and Captain America. So what do you think about that? I'm like, well, I said, sounds like she's a slut. Now, look, mind you, we are talking about a fictional character and fictional behavior, but Conan, if you slept with four of the six Avengers, no matter how much fun you had,
right,
you'd be a slut.
Yeah.
Just saying, I'd be a slut.
I'm just curious, which one would she be the most attracted to of all those guys?
I don't know, man. We're talking about fictional characters. I guess maybe it's the Hulk. Into the Hulk now.
Yeah. It's not Quicksilver, we know that. things are over with...
Hey. Yeah.
I can hear the quiet desperation in Conan's laugh.
Yeah, that's some awkward.
Can I tell you right now,
uh-huh,
as someone that has supported San Francisco comedy for like 5 years,
yeah,
I know what that laugh is.
Yeah.
I've had to do it so much.
Yeah. That was your thing for a while.
Yeah.
It was like, let's stay friends.
Let my laughter lift you up in this fucking hellhole of a set you're doing.
We're sad together.
Yeah.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah. God. And you know, I kind of do the same thing. I kind of have supportive laughter, but yours is like powerful laughter.
Yeah, it's got this bass in it.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful sound. That's like, oh, all right, I got to cut that joke.
It got the pity laugh.
It got the OJ pity laugh.
Like a friendly mentor, like a kung fu master.
Yeah,
telling you, hey, I love you in my own strict way, and you got to cut that joke.
Yeah. So
here's my thing.
Fictional characters.
I've been on the record as anti-slut shaming before that was even a word.
Okay.
It's true.
Like back in college,
promiscuity.
Back in college, I used to say that when you call someone a slut, I was like, that's not, you don't call someone a slut, that you call them enlightened.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I used to say, don't hate, congratulate.
And I remember this because I told my roommate, Sarah, I was like, oh, don't call them a slut, call them enlightened. And then she had a friend who she would refer to me as Buddha. I was like, I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, oh, remember when you said not a slut, enlightened?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
What's her name? What's her phone number?
Yeah. I've been anti-slut shaming since I remember the exact moment I became anti-slut shaming. It was when I was asked
talking to this slut.
I was asked out by a girl in seventh grade, a beautiful girl, and her name was Valerie. I hadn't really talked to her before. I'd seen her around, and she just asked me out in the middle of the hallway. I was like, yeah, okay. I mean,
man, you really peaked early.
I know.
And she didn't get asked out in seventh grade.
I know that it was a huge deal for me. She was like, you want go with me? I was like, yeah, I want to go.
Wait, voice was that?
That's what it was. She said, you want to go with me? And I was like,
yes.
Yes, I want to go. I want to go with you.
Where? Yeah. No, yes.
Yeah. I knew what go.
Are we riding bikes?
No. You guys just don't understand the lingo.
Riding bikes of
my
town.
Time. Going with someone meant like the boyfriend, girlfriend, or at least like, you know, date or whatever.
That was after going around.
And so I really,
you guys have going around.
No.
I was super down. I was like, this is so great. And then a friend of mine, like one of my best friends, is like, no, man, you can't go out with her. She's a slut. And I was like, she is. And he's like, yeah, you know, you got to think about like your reputation. And I was like, not my reputation. That's the most important thing is your reputation. In seventh grade, all you have is your reputation. At least that's what I thought.
All a man has is his word and his balls.
Exactly. Yeah. Word is bond.
Ball, man.
World, he doesn't word, break a word nobody.
Balls. Word is balls. Balls. And so we were supposed to go out and see a movie on that Friday, but then I called her up and said, you know, I don't really know you. I don't think we should go out. And
you a slut.
I didn't call her a slut, but I was like, I basically said, no, I don't want to. And then like a few weeks later, she and fucking Danny Ramirez
I should, probably shouldn't have used his full name. And again, there's so many Danny Ramirez.
Fuck that slush hammer.
No, no, no. Danny Ramirez is an awesome dude, but they totally hooked up and had sex. They had sex, and that's the moment so I was like,
yeah.
I told my friend, I was like, why did you do this to me? Of course I want a slut. A slut is what you want. It's someone who's got, I could have been part of that like 1% of like seventh graders who had sex, you know what I
would
mean?
Would you have been able to have sex at seventh grade?
Yeah, she totally had sex.
No, but you had
Danny.
Pubes in seventh grade?
No, I didn't. Okay, but I did have Velcro, and and I had considered.
Wait, what? Man, you're a rich kid.
Yeah, a very privileged family.
All over his house. He's got like a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, just a big old pile of Velcro.
Just a lot of Velcro, just reams.
Like
reams,
one of those
reams
suits
of
that you jump at it.
I had considered putting like the fuzzy end right there to protect.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd considered it. Yeah. I literally tried it on.
You were getting a merkin.
But anyways,
so you had a Velcro merkin.
No, I didn't. But I
thought about it.
Yeah,
okay.
I did. I tried.
How's that going to help?
Yeah.
Your dick's still all small and prepubescent.
Listen, the point was sex, bro. Okay. All right. So so then she ended up going with Danny, and then that's when I realized like I'll never slut shame again. A slut is like the most beautiful best thing that you want. Yeah. Like rumor has it is that Danny ate Skittles out her pussy, which like sounds gross now.
That's such a good seventh grade rumor.
Right,
it's 100% a seventh grade.
It's like
rumor.
The two best things.
I heard he put Legos in his butthole.
Yeah. So
he does it all the time. He does it during math class, Spanish class.
Yeah, he built a model car in his asshole. And then
he pooped it out.
Yeah, and then
went wee.
Yeah, and then when he came, he said it felt like a sour warhead was in his dick. But yeah, totally the rumor was, man, did you hear what Danny did? He sucked Skills out her pussy.
This is a weird deleted scene from Avengers: Age of Ultron. Black Widow has Skittles in her pussy.
But yeah, that was it. That was no more slut shaming after that. And I don't agree with slut shaming Black Widow either. However,
I think it was just a dumb joke a useless press tour interview where they're like, "Hey, say something funny about the most boring thing in the world that you've spent the last 6 months shooting and don't give half of a shit about anymore." And he's like, "I don't know. She's a slut."
Yeah.
And then it was like a funny moment in the press tour.
Yeah. And
he doesn't seem to understand the full outrage power of the internet either. That's like what it was built for. It was built to make people really angry about stuff that doesn't matter at all.
You got hate.
Yeah.
Is that a modem sound?
The power tool. Yeah, like a skill saw.
Got it.
We'll make
good dolphins and a good modem in the skill saw.
Is it that he didn't argue slutdom in a political way? Because if he would have just been like, "And that's okay,"
yeah, that was the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think a more diplomatic response after the slut comment would have been like, "And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
God bless sluts."
Why didn't she fuck the man god?
I remember when my friend
like of all the Avengers, why wouldn't you fuck fucking Hemsworth?
Yeah, I mean seems pretty obvious.
That seems like.
Because I heard lightning bolt shoot out his dick. Yeah. The God of Thunder.
Yeah. But I don't know. People get mad on the internet, and I almost feel like in a situation like that, not responding. What wouldn't that work just as well?
Well, he kind of did I thought he did good the first time he responded, where he's like, "I'm sorry for
I'm sorry you're sensitive about
it. I'm sorry
it.
For this horrible insult against a fictional character."
Yeah.
And then he went and finished it off, and it's like, back.
Yeah, he tried to explain like why she was a slut.
Yeah, that was the
was
part
like,
people
okay,
have a
now.
Problem with. There's like his reasoning about what makes a slut.
Right.
Like, he was good. It's like, she's fictional. I was on a press tour. It's boring there. I was off color. And then he's like, "Also, all women who have sex with four men."
No, but he's like, "No, but if he was a man who had sex with four men, he'd be a slut too." And they're like,
"That's like,
shut up, Jeremy Renner."
At the same time, it's sort of like they backed him into a corner where they're like they're demanding he apologize, and he kind of has to.
He failed. He could have.
The apology was good. The apology.
Yeah, the first apology.
The first apology was good. Him on Conan. Has that reignited? Is he back in trouble?
He's, well, sort of. I mean, if you follow Twitter, yeah. According to Twitter, he's back in trouble.
See, I didn't know that.
Twitter is like a pleasant little sailboat compared to the constant thunderstorm that is the teens on Tumblr. And they Tumblr, let me tell you, they hate Hawkeye.
Yeah.
They think his arrows are stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tumblr is like, that's...
He can't jump good.
Tumblr is just like a whole other world. Of like outrage and sadness, man. There's I didn't know about really like search Tumblr all that. Like, I didn't really fuck with Tumblr. And then a few months ago, I was looking through just different Tumblrs that I was finding online, and it's just like people just like here's a bunch of pictures of people, you know, cutting themselves, and I was like, and people were
you're
super
following
into
the
it.
Wrong Tumblrs, yeah. Man.
I just follow big boob ladies.
Yeah.
Well, that I got to check that one out,
yeah,
too.
You follow the boob ladies and the corgis.
Well, listen.
And then you're done.
The ones with people.
Don't follow the boob corgis. Those ones get weird real fast. Their little legs can't get off the boobs.
Yeah.
It's like, they're stuck there because their boobs are too big and their legs are too small. It's fucked up.
It's a horrible combo.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Tumblr's fucking weird.
Well, Tumblr is not for you.
Right, that's exactly.
You're
that's,
too old.
You're like
that
a double
shit.
Teen, and
that's.
You've
I
seen
think
too
you
much.
Are.
Yeah, I am. Why? Wait, a why is teen. Why is Tumblr not for? It's for me. Why is it?
No,
not for
it's not for you either.
It's not. Yeah, I don't think
I
it's
like
for
it.
Us.
It's definitely not for you.
It can't be for me.
It's
I like
not
it.
For you.
I like it though.
No,
Tumblr. You know,
don't appropriate the youngins' little outlets.
I didn't think
every generation has one. You missed yours. All right, Tumblr doesn't belong to you.
Are we really? I guess we are just. Too old for Tumblr. Now.
Every Tumblr I follow is someone in their 30s, so...
I'm not saying that...
You guys are just all dads just hanging out, just like having dad fun. Just be like, I like fun popular music.
Just photo sets of grills.
What are you going to...
Greetings, fellow teenagers.
Do you also like to barbecue?
Well, that would be much creepier if it was 30-year-olds cutting themselves and showing it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. There's a lot of trigger warnings. That's a whole thing too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they talk about triggering a lot. It's a lot. What it feels like is a
lot
of.
I don't know who you're following, man. You're doing this wrong.
No, yeah. First of all, I'm doing it right. No. I'm looking at all the hot, sexy co-ed 18-year-olds who are cutting themselves and talking about trigger warnings. All right. I think if you're into things, you're into things. All right.
Matt showing up in the internet looking to get triggered. All right.
Yeah, I'm looking for triggers, dude. Serious. That's what
I know. I know.
That's all I do is looking at dead people. Yeah. And people look like my dad yelling at me. That's what I Google, bruh. I just want to get triggered. Pulled a trigger. Just trying to numb myself to the world, you know? I'm trying to, you know, turn into Brett, and Brett's trying to turn into a shell. I want to be a monster.
Let's switch,
all right. Wow, I hate everything, including myself. I'm sorry. That was mean. You know.
I do say that. That's totally fair.
Yeah. That is on, you know, your new Facebook bio.
So hashtag content part two.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's related.
Joss Whedon has quit Twitter.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of speculation as to why.
Similar reasons.
No one really knows. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And so it's this big deal.
I kind of heard about it like peripherally. People are making jokes about it. He's a woman hater or something, like about him being hating women or something.
Well, okay. So Patton Oswalt tweeted, yep, there is a Tea Party equivalent of progressivism / liberalism, and they just chased Joss Whedon off Twitter. Good job, guys. But I don't know what that's based on. Like,
yeah,
Patton is sort of like off on an island. Like,
yeah,
I don't know where
he's super out of touch now.
I don't know where he got that.
Yeah.
That interview he did, the like reconciliation of Salon, like that shit made me, I'm like, wow, I don't know what the fuck is going on with Patton Oswalt these days.
So maybe he's right. I don't know. Like,
no,
but
he's just lost.
All I know
man.
Is Joss Whedon is off Twitter, and like he just came out with the Avengers. He's probably got 1,000 like outraged fanboys talking shit for God knows whatever reason.
There's no
reason.
Right
like,
way to do that.
I'm sure there's some that are angry at him for some progressivivist cause. I don't know.
But I wish.
We don't know. No, we don't know.
I heard that.
That sucks. We have to get to the bottom of it.
I heard that he got yelled at because the Black Widow in this version is like a damsel in distress, and he had made a big show of like being pro-feminist earlier.
Yeah.
And that then he didn't follow through Which, I mean, I don't know if he has control.
But here's
over.
The thing.
That was what I heard on the internet.
Agent Maria Hill makes up for it for by being there a lot, even though she's the most useless character that's ever existed in the Marvel Universe. But she's got like 10 minutes of screen time.
Well,
just fucking reading rap sheets, walking down a corridor. Like, that's a thing.
Is she the How I Met Your Mother lady?
Kobe Smulders.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I heard.
It's a good name.
I don't know why.
I heard, and this is just a rumor, what I heard is that Black Widow got in trouble. Sucking Skittles at her face.
She got in trouble.
She got in trouble.
She had to go to detention.
Joss Whedon wrote it so that she had to suck Skittles out her own piss. And people were like,
in the library after school.
Why does it gotta be sexual for her to do it herself? Like, they wondered why. Anyways.
I knew he was going somewhere with that because I saw that twinkle in his eye, and I just like turned away because I was like, all right, don't make him break up before he gets to wherever he's going with this.
Let me get there.
And, I feel a piracy coming on.
I barely got
it. Okay, so James Gunn wrote a big Facebook post, and this is how it starts.
Fuck.
Imagine being a guy like Joss Whedon who has committed his life to fandom and to creating the best characters he possibly can. Characters he loves and has spent 2 years of his life working on a movie and then has to wake up to this shit on Twitter. Yes, I know, Age of Ultron has an A cinema score, and far and away most people loved it. But the angry contingent of fandom is getting more aggressive all the time, and it's difficult to block out as a person in the public eye. My plea to all of you, and this is nothing new, is that we all try to be a little kinder on the internet. Blah, 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 I'm a big pussy. No, but I don't know. I don't know why they were yelling at it. No one really knows. It could have been a thousand reasons.
Here's the thing. You got to stop pleading. You got to stop all your pleading, and you got to make no more pleas. Because what you really need to do is just sell the fuck out and start shilling, all right? That's where it's at.
Dude,
like, you're never
going to
make
them
happy. You just give them what you want and then just fucking back away because the fandom's only going to get angrier and angrier. So you just fucking lie. You lie and you exploit them for money.
It's what's.
I love you guys. I love comic books. And I love the movies about comic books.
Yeah.
And I love sluts and not sluts.
Yeah, and I love.
All, I love. I'm just.
I love
so
all your opinions,
up.
And you're entitled to them, and I want to hear them every day. I want to hear your opinion.
Comment on it.
Yeah,
comment.
Let me know what you feel. Because if we don't know what you feel, then how am I going to know how I feel?
I'm basing me off of you.
I just don't want to get in trouble. Just tell me how you feel, and I will go from there. That's how I write my stand-up comedy. That's how I do it. I go like, hey, you guys. You guys ever notice, you know, on airplanes? You guys ever been on airplanes before? Tell me about it and how you feel about it so I know where to go with this.
And yell it out during my joke. Yell it out during the middle of my joke. Yeah. I've been on an airplane!
Yeah, good. What was your experience like?
It was good. I was in the sky.
Okay. Hey, everybody. I love airplanes. Next joke.
Dear Underball, what did you think of this podcast? Who was the most fake and or the gayest?
I hated Leed. That guy Leed, L-I-E-D.
I hate how he spelled my name wrong. For context, when we post the broadcast, the people comment on it, and Underball was not a big fan of Leed, which is, I'm pretty sure, supposed to be me.
I enjoy the idea that he is I mean this
Underball because, by the way, is a user.
I enjoy the idea that he is entitled
your Bond villain
to comedy from you, that you should be likable because he's paying your bills.
Totally.
And like all of the bills that he's paying.
Listen,
you owe him.
Underball Venmos me $300 every week just so that I don't get on his bad side.
Right.
He's like, just don't say anything wrong. Just don't say anything wrong.
Yeah.
And
you did, right?
I'm pretty sure I did.
So you're not going to get those checks anymore.
You know what, Underball, whatever you want me to say, I will say. If do you want me to say that I loved Age of Ultron? I loved it. Do you want me to say that I like eating Skittles out your pussy? That's fine. I'll do that too. I love it. You know, whatever you're into.
We don't make any money. Yeah. Is the best part of all of the. A lot of people don't make any money. Joss Whedon makes a lot of money.
Yeah,
and so it's hard to feel things for someone who makes so much money on such a big thing.
Yeah, that's how we're gonna kindle.
Yeah,
that. Yeah. that mountain of money is how we're gonna burn him alive.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if like him quitting Twitter was the right thing. I mean, because first of all, I don't even know the controversy. I don't know what he did or why people hate him. But had he, like, same thing with Renner. Just not comment on it. Isn't the internet outrage machine?
All he said was, "Hey, thanks for all your support," and then he just stopped being on Twitter.
Which is the right move.
No, exactly. But it's in reaction to something, and that's what I'm saying.
But he didn't say why, and now everybody else is like, "See, look what you did! No, look what you did!"
Well, I just if you don't react to internet outrage, if it's super trifling bullshit. Like, obviously, internet outrage can coincide with real reality outrage.
Ultron's a robot? That's scary. That's as real as you can get, is a big scary robot.
Well, right. But I wonder, like, if you just don't react to it, if in a couple of days the internet outrage machine can't eat itself alive. Like, because eventually what will happen is there'll be think pieces about how he's right.
Avengers-ly.
Yeah.
There'll be apps built around proving that Joss Whedon left Twitter because of... You gotta let the recursion loop break your stack. Let it drill all the way the fuck down.
Do people get mad at you if you pretend you don't know they're outraged and you just kind of go on living your life? Or do people just kind of go... Because that's how I dealt with bullying when I was, you know, like in middle school and elementary school and high school and stuff. It's just like, you just kind of like... When someone bullies you or talks some shit, rather than react, you're like, fuck you! Like, because that's how I used to do. I'll just be like, ah, yeah. And then kind of like go on talking about what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And then after a while, it just wasn't fun.
You start a rumor about their pee-sheet.
I was just start talking about India, this kid knows how that pee. But I'm just saying, like...
I wanted to call this segment Looking for Feminism in All the Wrong Places. But at the same time, I think Joss Whedon kind of put that on himself because I think the right way to do it is just to fucking write strong female characters and not being like, look at all the strong female characters.
Actually have them.
Just do it.
Characters don't matter at all. Yeah, characters are fucking stupid, and fictional universes that pretend to be like pro-feminism are fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you hire some actual people that are female?
Yeah that's an actual female voice.
Yeah. Human beings in reality. That aren't comic book characters, put them on your staff, pay them money.
Well, that's the problem. I think people have lost all ability to see subtext where, like, someone will be like, blah, 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 I'm a feminist, yay! And everybody's like, yeah, he is! And, like, they don't actually look at what that person does. They're just like, oh, well, he said he is, so that must be... By the same token, like, if you say one word about, like, oh, she was a slut. He's like, oh, burn them. It's kind of like they're not thinking about the important.
I mean, wait.
Finish your point.
Like, instead of celebrating someone who, like, writes strong female characters, they're celebrating someone who says they do because
it's two levels.
Because we've lost all ability to, like, evaluate things beyond what someone said. Like, everything's like quote. And a soundbite, and then it goes no deeper.
Yeah, right, sure.
So, like, if you say, like, I believe in equality, blah, 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 they're like, oh, you're great. You get, like, a fucking party, even if you, like, have a slumlord apartment owner, you know? And it's like...
I think that's what I really dislike about a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook who I see constantly reaffirming, just so you know... I am still an ally, and after a while, there's a few specifically who sometimes that there's no context to it at all. It's just kind of like
please love me.
Please love me a little bit,
and it breeds self-righteousness.
And every time I want to be like, what is this in regards to? What happened? Like, did something happen? And then I think I just kind of realized. I think people just like. Reaffirming with the people they know around them, like, just so you guys know, I'm still an ally. I'm still a feminist. I am still an ally, pretty much. Yeah, I don't know.
I think what happened to Whedon is the same thing that grossed me out about what happened to Patton and what Vince had talked about with Rogan. Like, they all sort of like close the feedback loop where they start hearing what the people near them in the fan base are saying, like, not their peers, but like the very very vocal fans, and they start integrating that into who they are, where like they start to like hear the echoes of themselves, and then they're like, yes, what I said was important. I am the voice of the middle class white liberals. Like, I should make a sword banging sound every time an issue comes up that people care about.
Right.
Which is like, shut up, no one cares.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
they do, but like, shut up.
I guess it's like after a while, you're just kind of, it's like you say, it's that feedback loop. You're just kind of talking to this very weird part
like
of your
fan base. Like an ugly version of yourself.
Yeah,
like you've
right.
got a bunch of people that are all like, I am also Patton Oswalt.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, that guy knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Small, weird looking version of me.
I think it's just best.
No, that's Patton looking into a mirror.
Take that, Patton. Well, fuck you.
Well, after a while, I mean, we should all move beyond revering these people in the first place. Like, I love Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, I had to come up against him, you know, losing his shit at an open mic that was blogged about. And I just realized I don't care about Patton like I used to when I was, like, 19.
Right, yeah.
So anything that, like, could be seen as followable, like, their shit is still problematic as fuck. I'm still gonna watch that shit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna determine how I feel about it beyond that.
Yep. Right.
I'm gonna move past this roadblock that people just want to discredit things with.
Right.
And just be like, all right, let's look at the whole piece.
Yep. Right.
And I'm gonna keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna move on with my day.
It's so much. It's so much easier to take something that someone said one time and then use that as like that is who they are.
Well, it's also. It's very convenient to just have a reason to not like somebody.
Right. Yeah.
And which is like, you didn't like it in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
And now.
Yeah. And now you've got something.
And now you have a reason to say publicly why you don't like it. Just say you don't like it.
Yeah. Right.
You don't have to fucking preface it. Yeah. You don't have to write an epilogue. You don't have to have a sequel to why you don't like something. You don't like it.
Yeah. You're allowed to just not like something.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of crusaders, I think, out there. Well, they want to let their opinion be known and they want to destroy.
I think part of the problem is that since like everything in pop culture has become aimed at 13-year-old boys, like that's become the dominant and almost like to the point where it's almost the only thing. So now we're looking at shit that's supposed to be for 13-year-old boys and being like, yeah, but what about the girls in it? Like, what?
Yeah.
Can't this be more for ladies? And you're like, no, like that's sort of a.
I think it's aimed at 30-year-old boys.
Right.
Who hold inside of them a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah. Well, also. I mean, they have a point. If you're going to spend billions of dollars, be better.
Yeah. And it's not like...
you could ask that question of everything in the world.
But the nugget of superficial, like, throwaway culture that is, like, the comic book that this was made from, it's like, oh, he's a big green man in purple shorts, like, has become an industry. And industries are adult fucking things because they make a lot of money, employ a lot of people, and have a really strong effect on culture at large. Like... treat that shit like an adult operation and, you know, maybe think about some of your choices.
Yeah. It's too many people thinking about too many choices.
Also bad. Think about everything, but not quite too much.
Did you see Age of Ultron yet?
I don't know if I'm going to.
Yeah.
I don't know if I care. Winter Soldier was just like, it's so fucking dumb.
It's better than Winter Soldier.
Really?
I mean, but I didn't like Winter Soldier.
That shit
like,
just felt like a list of characters they were going to deal with later. And I just don't. Like, I read comic books and still read comic books, and I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. But there's definitely a whole lot of shit going on without the ability to focus on the story.
Yeah. I don't.
Anyway.
But this is the final thing that is going to happen with comic book movies. Like they wanted this the whole time. They want the big crossover events because that's where they make their money.
But
like, all comic books.
I feel like they
now,
could still have the crossover events without trying to like make everything tie together perfectly. Like it could tie together imperfectly. Yeah. I think people would go with you.
We talked about this last time. We're riffing
enough.
On it. But like I like that Daredevil show.
And I just haven't watched it.
Yeah,
I think it's kind
of
good.
I haven't seen any of those Avenger movies. I haven't seen. I saw Iron Man 1 and 2, and there's so many more. There's like so many more movies that I just haven't seen. And at this point, it's just like I just don't think I'll see them.
Yeah. What are you gonna see instead?
Probably
some people cutting themselves.
Well, definitely like
something where Julia Roberts like owns a puppy, and then the puppy dies, and then Matt gets to cry.
No, I'll just watch a lot of TV. That's what I do. I like good cinematic dramas. That's what I'm about.
TV's pretty good now.
TV's the best. Movies suck. Let's do a fucking just a TV. This should be called the
TV's the best.
TV's
show.
The best movie.
But those movies are sitcoms.
Yeah.
Which movies are?
Fucking comic book movies.
It's true.
All they are is just an excuse to have a big, dumb monster make a slam another person into the ground.
Well, I don't really watch too many sitcoms anymore either, though. Like I kind of like dramas, whatever.
Yeah, I can't
on
do
HBO.
Sitcoms really anymore.
But like the release schedule, people got super pumped up on the Marvel release schedule, like free of context. Just like here's the titles of things, and they got amped up because it only works serially. Like, and I just don't know if it's the right format. Like, I don't know if I want to do a 3-hour episode of a TV superhero drama. Like,
I mean, I'm...
You don't have room to tell the small stories, but so everything has to be a big set piece. So you don't get, like, the weird episodes where it's, like, focusing on a side character
or
something.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why Guardians of the Galaxy was kind of awesome, because it was, like, a side... It was, like, a side episode, and you're like, oh, I like this. It didn't have to be anything...
Wait, is Guardians of the Galaxy exist in any of, in one of those universes?
I mean, it's part of Marvel.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know how it's going to work. That's the other thing. It's like, I don't want them to work it in. Like, it was just a good
thing. I didn't even know it was in the same universe. So I figured, like, that was just some sort of side thing. I did see that one. It wasn't that good.
I liked it. It was the same movie. It had more character than the other
ones. Remember when we had not so good movies that you couldn't automatically identify who the fuck was in it?
Oh, yeah.
It was just like,
that's true.
Who the fuck is Jack Reacher and why should I give a shit?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, at least I know who Pepper Potts is.
Right. Yeah,
Jack Reacher was kind of good. The bad guy was Werner Herzog. Yeah. You know? It was decent. That movie was way better than it should have been.
Shot from a very weird female gazey thing. Like, they were looking at Tom Cruise like they wanted to fuck Tom Cruise. The camera the whole time was just like, Tom Cruise got a nice ass.
The first AD was Tom Machevitz. So.
I have only ever seen that one scene in Jack Reacher where he like fights those dudes at the bar.
We're just determining that you're not like the target demographic for movies.
Oh no, I know, or Tumblr or anything.
Have you been watching Silicon Valley?
Fuck yeah, I've been watching Silicon Valley. That's like the sitcom that I watch.
Okay, question.
Yeah.
Are they gonna stop making the main character like a pussy at some point?
Oh my god, he's so funny
like,
though.
Everybody, no,
you kidding me?
That's he's like the least funny character on that show.
You're so wrong,
dude. You're the only person who thinks this.
That guy,
he is far and away the least compelling character on that entire show.
That guy is geniusly funny to me. I think he is so good. His timing is fucking great.
His character just contributes nothing. He's like, I'm awkward.
I thought he was better in the first season, but I
think this season he's been just fucking killing it. I think this is the first season I've realized how much I love that character. I think the first season I would have agreed with you, but then now, especially now that the funniest dude on it is, you know, he's dead, he's not on it anymore, I really came to enjoy this guy's version of what like a you know, kind of spectrum engineer is like, you know what I mean? Some guy who's like a little bit on the autism spectrum and is like trying to.
He's getting better, but I don't know. I feel like that's a common problem with some Mike Judge stuff where I think Idiocracy was like that too, where.
Oh, really?
Like everybody around Luke Wilson was really funny, but then Luke Wilson is kind of this blank canvas.
Yeah, I thought Luke Wilson was definitely not the funniest part of Idiocracy, but I thought he was just fine.
He's all right. But
Oh man, but I love the main character on that show. I think he's so good.
But you don't have these bland main characters. How do you get anything done? Like it's an exposition piece. Like he's supposed to be like, you're supposed to identify with him, but it's also like an excuse for someone to be like, huh?
You do need the everyman. You do need someone like, who's gonna go.
Who's the everyman? Who's the everyman on Veep? Veep doesn't need a everyman.
Veep is rigid as fuck. The Silicon Valley season 2, I feel, is a little soft, but Veep is still fucking.
Did the new season start of Veep? I have to start watching that. That's
Veep is great.
Yeah, that's a great show.
But it's got a weird format where it's all cross character insults. Like that's the whole. There's almost no development. It's just them setting them up for pithy fighting.
Just real sharp shit. It's good though. That's really good. At least I liked last season.
It's kind of like Aaron Sorkin if he wasn't trying to lecture you.
And was funny. Aaron Sorkin can be funny.
Name one time.
I thought it was really funny. The line where he said the Jane Fonda. In what was that? The Newsroom said, "I will literally kill you." And now, because of the definition of literally, has come to mean figuratively. When I say I will literally kill you, you do not know if I am being figurative or literal or something like that. And I was like,
"Wait, that's a real fucking line."
The worst line.
You didn't make that up. Are you being serious? Yeah. I don't know if you're being me or no, you're being you now.
No, that was a line I liked. It was along those lines.
I hate Aaron Sorkin because he's like, it's like he tried to squeeze a think piece. Yeah.
And a humble brag. And a humble brag. Yeah. He's just like, I'm Aaron Sorkin. I know the meaning of words. You might have heard a couple. Yeah.
That's true.
Like two people interacting, he somehow squeezed a think piece and a humble brag into it.
Also, fuck my ex-wife. I'm Aaron Sorkin. Thank you.
He's a little sanctimonious, but I think he's the president of sanctimony.
President of Sanctimonia.
I think he's good. I think, you know, I enjoy him. I don't know. I don't hate him. A lot of people hate him. I don't hate him.
Me and Joe were talking about that monologue in the newsroom where they're asking him, is America the greatest country on earth? And he goes on this rant and we're like, we're last in reading. We're blah, 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 blah.
So for you to sit here and say we're the best country on earth is ridiculous. But you know what? We used to be.
Yeah. and that's the moment where, I mean, the first part's sanctimonious, but then it turns into like smug. That's why I don't like Aaron Sorkin because now watch as we revise it,
so we were always right.
because not only is he like a loud liberal, like his liberalism is kind of it's a lot like Republicanism. He's doing like he's just nostalgic for mythical, a different mythical era.
Mythical
it's
history.
All,
yeah.
It's a shill, baby. Yeah. You gotta get on that shill wheel.
And on that point, I fucking love the newsroom, and I think Aaron Sorkin is great.
Exactly. There we go.
Hey, post your comments to all the social media about me and my love for Aaron Sorkin.
Isn't it great that someone still writes smart characters?
Yeah, I just like that he tells it like
and
it
strong female
been.
Characters. He writes strong female characters, and he would know. He would know about that because he's a man and he's smart.
Where's she? Hulk. That's a strong female character.
She's the strongest, right? She Hulk has a Tumblr.
Literally, when I mean figuratively, but I mean literally, she's the strongest.
That's a great joke. That's a great joke.
Someone tried to eat Skittles out of She-Hulk's pussy, but she's so strong, she shot them out, and they became like the bullets of an M16.
It's like Ant-Man.
Taste the rainbow. Bitch.
But not in the bad way. Let's edit out that bitch though, right?
Right.
Because I don't want Twitter to get mad at me.
Mm-hmm. You don't want a bitch shame.
Or Tumblr.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tumblr. Trigger warning. I said bitch earlier. But don't worry, I'm a feminist. Because I said.
You sure you're not a womanist? How do you feel about black women?
Oh. I love women. I love black women.
What about females without vaginas?
Yeah. I love them too. You mean like with dicks specifically or just not no vaginas?
FWVs.
Pick your poison.
Here's my thing. I sexualize everything.
Okay.
All right. So if a woman had a dick and she was beautiful, I would learn how to suck that dick. Uh-huh. That's just how I feel about it.
All right.
If it was Jessica Alba with a dick, I would suck Jessica Alba's dick till she came in my mouth. Because at the end of the day, I'm the one fucking Jessica Alba, or she's fucking me. But well, whatever. Honestly, I mean, I would.
I'll fuck an abstract concept. I don't even need a person. Yeah. I'll fuck a floor plan that's not even like in a building. It's just on a blueprint. Like they're just like, here's where the foyer goes. I'm like, I'll fuck that. I'll fuck all of that.
Yeah. As long as it's really well organized.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Design is beautiful.
Yeah. And I'll fuck it.
Yeah.
I'll fuck a poem.
Fuck a bumblebee and a flower in the poem. I'll fuck the things inside of the poem that are metaphors for other things that I will also fuck.
To Fuck a Butterfly, the new album by Kendrick Lamar.
Can you fuck a butterfly?
That's what he really meant to say.
I think it's a great album. I just want to say that. I said that last time, and I also pointed out that's also not for me. But I enjoy it a lot.
Like, aggressively not for
it's
you.
It's aggressively. As I'm listening to it, I feel...
Fuck that lead guy.
Listening to that album, I feel like... I'm just like snuck into a someone else's party and just put my ear to the door. A Black Panther party. Put my ear to it and went, oh man, they're really mad at us. They're super mad and it sounds amazing.
Just quietly sipping on your cup. Just, oh God.
Because here's the thing. For me, self-hate really falls in line with my like sexuality. So like when he's talking about, I'm blacker than the heart of an Aryan, like I am just like masturbating, like, yeah, tell me how much I suck. Yeah, tell me. I love it. It makes me feel
good.
You're
not an Aryan though.
I know, but I like to pretend. I'm part Aryan.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
You don't get to be part Aryan. That's not a thing.
I hate that about Aryanism. I'm nothing. I'm not even allowed to be Jewish either. I'm just I'm a figure. I'm an abstract concept. Will you fuck me?
Yeah, I will.
Please do.
So, a girl walks home alone at night.
I saw the movie.
Should I give my opinion first?
Why don't you do a little, tell people what the thing is. Did you already post what
I posted a thing. I posted a trailer. Oh, okay. It's a movie. It's the first Iranian vampire western is what they're calling it.
The first Iranian vampire western.
Yeah, so they're. I think.
Has there been?
Let me make sure I get that right.
First of all, you didn't Iranian.
Yeah.
Second of all, here's the thing:
it's not really Iranian. It's filmed by like a Iranian American.
Okay, I would say
in America, like it was shot in Bakersfield.
Oh.
And the cast are like Americans that speak Farsi, but
that's great. All right, so you could just say Persian then.
The first Iranian vampire western ever made. That's how they call it. Iranian, yeah. Whatever.
What's the western part?
I don't. I mean, it's like a film noir. It's kind of like a ghost town.
It kind of
thing.
Felt yeah. westerny. Yeah. It felt like
western's a weird
Tarantino westerny. Like
here's what I would call
homage
it.
To western.
I would call it like Sofia Coppola. And Frank Miller like fucked in a Persian restaurant. That's kind of what
yeah.
we got.
She would never fuck him.
Yeah.
And I liked no one it, would. but I don't like. To me, it's like a good. It's one of those movies I would see at a film festival and go, oh yeah, that was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But then when there's like this tidal wave of praise, I'm like, all right, settle down. Yeah. It wasn't that good.
Yeah.
It was good for like an art project. It has a lot of the tropes of art films where like people are not talking for very long periods and it's sort of like it gets credit for being artsy simply because it's kind of not verbose, like it's very
right.
Yes. It gets credit for artsy when it's kind of just slow.
It's very pretty,
but
kind of shallow.
But the prettiness, like it sort of makes up for the shallowness.
Yeah, and it references a lot without synthesizing a lot. So it's like, oh, I recognize that kind of thing from somewhere else, and then they don't really do anything that has much of a comment on it.
That's kind of how I felt about the western-y part of it.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even hear that description. I'm like, yeah, they would like quote two entire genres.
Wait, why would they bring up westerns? That shit hasn't made money in years.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, but it's popular to. It's like Tarantino. It's popular to say you've got a Western, and really what you just have is
revenge porn.
Is what's Ennio Morricone? Is that
it's a spaghetti Western?
Ennio.
Yeah.
Like you just really just have that music playing in it. It's like this isn't really a Western at all. It just has his him doing the score, or at least something sounding similar to that. So I didn't see the trailer. Mm-hmm. Had no idea what I was watching.
I didn't either. I didn't know. I didn't.
And so what was it like 15 minutes into the movie when you're just like, what the fuck?
I didn't know it was a vampire movie.
I didn't know it was a vampire movie. I was like, oh, okay. All right. Now, so that was mind-blowing and fun. I was like, okay, I didn't know I was seeing a vampire movie. I thought I was seeing just like a Persian drama. And then when it became a vampire movie, I was like, oh, all right, rad. And that kind of gave me a boner for like about half of the movie before I started kind of getting bored with the concept and realizing they weren't really going to go anywhere with it, and it was just kind of be sort of symbolic but really not. I don't know. I kind of waited for like something like the vampire represents your blood getting sucked.
Some sort of insight into into anything. It felt like, I don't know, it reminded me of listening to a Black Keys song. Where I've always felt about the Black Keys, where I'm like,
which album?
They're really good at like setting a mood. I'm like, oh, this is like cool, and then the song kind of doesn't really go anywhere.
Depends.
For me.
It does depend on the album.
Yeah.
Are we talking like, thick freakiness?
This is like
that's
a cool
a
mood.
Fucking album. Or are we
set you free?
Are you talking about Brothers?
Yeah,
I've never,
which is like
never got into
it. Once they started fucking with Danger Mouse,
yeah,
got a little bit too much atmosphere. Once
yeah,
they start smoking blunts with the RZA.
Yeah, it's over.
It was over.
Yeah.
I didn't get the Western part at all.
Yeah.
at all. Like, I can understand noir a little bit in that.
Yeah,
like,
it's much more noir.
You ever read some stupid fucking, like, Dashiell Hammett shit where it's just like, what? Why? Why did you? This whole thing was for that stupid. Everyone's dead. For this stupid bird? It's broken. Yeah. Is this a metaphor? No. But what I ultimately got was, did anybody else get like an indie boy meets girl?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
oh yeah, yeah.
Very much.
Yeah.
Girl meets boy.
That was the Sofia Coppola angle of that. Yeah. Like, where they're boy meets girl, they listen to indie rock together.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then at the end, you're just like, are they gonna leave Bad City? Are they not gonna leave Bad City?
Yeah. I think a lot of it works because that girl's like really hot.
I didn't want to say
it,
that.
Like, oh my god, I'm in love with her.
But she want
to watch her do stuff.
So beautiful.
And I couldn't determine if she was a manic pixie scream girl or the manic pixie dream girl of your nightmares.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
Nice. Oh, very man. Good.
Damn.
I wrote jokes.
Just drop the mic and leave.
Yeah, oh, man.
For instance, for more humor that I wrote while watching this show.
Tag.
Don't tell him he wrote it. No, he's just
the
whoa.
Gangster.
What did you think about that, OJ, off the top of your head?
Well, did you ever notice how the gangster that steals the car at the beginning of the film kind of reminds you of like a brown die ant word, aka dyed ant word?
Yes.
Where's your reggae horn app when we need it?
It's in my mouth, bruh. Yeah. That character I thought was great and strong and made it very interesting, and then which made me love it even more when he just gets taken out by some vampire.
Did you get a boner when she like rubbed his finger on his lips?
Oh yeah. That was it. Listen, you're talking to a man of exquisite sexual taste. So it was that was really something. That was wonderful.
I didn't think they did enough with the tiny town. If that's the
right.
if that's the thing they're gonna claim that they take ownership of, I thought it might have just been like a budgetary concern where they're just like, oh, it's a small town, so we're gonna focus on these characters. But if it's like a Tim Burton world in a snow globe, I think you gotta like make that more important to what you're doing. Like this, the end of the street doesn't go anywhere, kind of a thing. Like this is just like a little dollhouse purgatory, and I didn't know that was intentional. I didn't think they made that clear enough that like these are the characters, they're all in their own little hells.
Right. And I loved that image of the canal with all the bodies in it, and then I was kind of like waiting. I was waiting for them to do something with it. I was like, that's my favorite part. Cuz at first, I started watching and it's in black and white, and like I kind of hate black and white.
Like, I'm over it.
Yeah, because it's like, all right, you're artsy. I fucking get it. Like, I didn't like that Nebraska was black and white. I thought it was kind of dumb. I thought that movie would have been better in color. Because they're like, all right, we get it. The fucking Midwest is bleak. But in this case, it was like, all right, so if they're trying to make it feel like this world, this like separate world, you know, where everybody speaks Farsi and it's like a ghost town for some reason. I was like, okay, that's cool. But then I was waiting for them to sort of do something with that. And I was like, oh, no, it's just window dressing. It makes it look cool.
And it's like, well, it's helpful because in the day and night difference, like you don't get that color shift. So it's always kind of twilighty and like heavy shadows. So I thought it was okay.
I did too.
Not,
like,
not entirely superficial to use black and white.
Plus, the black and white justified itself pretty quick.
Plus dyed and word, he could wear the same tracksuit over and over.
Yeah.
And
you don't know what color.
You wouldn't even know. And or see the stains. That's why I like black and white.
So,
I
read an interview with the director, and it kind of solidified my semi negative opinion. I thought it was like a B plus ish, you know, pretty decent.
B plus is pretty good. That's not a negative opinion,
like a B. But anyway, but it solidified the things that I didn't like about it, which was that I thought she did some cool stuff and like didn't really know why she was doing it, kind of thing, where it was like. It was very superficially good. Like, this looks cool. This has got like a cool vibe, but it doesn't have a ton to say.
Right.
So then I read this interview with her, and it kind of reinforced that opinion. They're asking her why it's set, you know, in the weird world that it is. And she's like, well, it's an Iranian fairy tale. It's an Iranian story with Iranian characters. I don't think it really matters where I shot it. I mean, Middle Earth isn't really New Zealand, and that's where Lord of the Rings is. Sergio Leone made American Westerns in Spain. A film is a place of the mind. So I just see this as my soundstage where I'm putting my play on. I'm modeling it after a lawless, nameless ghost town from, like, a Sergio Leone Western, or Rumblefish, which is also a stylized American town, or Gotham or Sim City. I feel like this is maybe the question I get asked the most, and I don't really know why. Like, if I was Polish and I made a Polish story, I wonder if people would be asking me why it was in Polish. And then interviewer, well, I think they would. I can't really think of any Polish language movie shot in America. America is a country of immigrants, and there are lots of movies about Italians who come here. I mean, Goodfella. Scorsese's got Italians speaking Italian in New York. America is like the place where all these ingredients cook together and are truly mixed. I am in some ways exactly what the movie is, which is a mix of so many things. I mean, it's not a documentary, so I don't understand the question. When people ask me that, I really feel struck by how many times I get asked that question. When you were watching the film, did you think to yourself that it was supposed to be set in Iran, like the real country?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's that's the same thing with press tours, though. That's a dumb question asked repeatedly.
Not.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
No, it's not to ask why it's in Farsi.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you know how much fucking harder you've made it for yourself to make your movie deliberately, to make your indie movie deliberately with subtitles as an artistic choice?
I don't know.
Like you've kind of cut off your dick, economically speaking. Like, you're like, oh, we're gonna set this movie in America with American actors. Of course you're gonna get asked why it's in Farsi. Because that's a huge fucking sacrifice to make for an artistic choice.
I don't think you should take her response after the 700th time she's heard that question as being like, oh, well, this is indicative of someone who doesn't give a fuck. She's tired of the question.
Fair enough.
Think
but there's another,
for
there's
her,
a couple other
for
answers.
Her, it sounds to me, because this is what I got from that, is the implication is why are you lying about making a foreign film when this is not a foreign film?
That's kind of loaded and a little bit dumb.
Well, I don't think it's dumb. I think she just doesn't like the implication. But at the same time,
I think she should have an answer for that question, because she clearly like made a huge choice. She made a huge sacrifice for that choice.
Yeah.
So you'd think she would have like some sort of explanation for it.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing.
Really, I don't know.
It's
a stylistic choice. She's
So the movie is not supposed to be set in Iran?
No.
Okay, and but it is Persian culture throughout, right? Is that supposed to be
kind of ish? Like, I get that she's creating this sort of singular world.
I thought it was like just outside of Tehran or something like that, because they had like nightclubs and stuff like that, and like a little bit looser rules and stuff. But it's just
Then the next question is: did you, when you were watching the film, did you think that it was supposed to be set in Iran, like the real country? The interviewer, not literally, but like some version of Iran. And she says, there's a vampire in the movie, so I don't think we're in the real world. I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. If there could be the Wizard of Oz, if Marty McFly could go to 1954, I can have an Iranian ghost town in the desert and shoot it in California. Have you seen Dogville by Lars von Trier? He shot the movie on a soundstage, but I was completely caught up in the stories and the character. Honestly, if people are hung up on where it was shot and what language it's in, I failed. It's a love story, and it's about caring about these characters and what
happens
to them.
It's a love story?
I don't know. I like her response. I think that's the right way to go with this. Like, fuck you, it's a stylistic choice.
I can't.
She could have said that. She could, but to be like, oh, well, it's just like the DeLorean. I was like, no, it's not. That's not the same thing.
I stand behind that. She resents the implication that we're all kind of going like, you know, it seems like you made a foreign film, and now
people
we're
trying to put
out
it in a box that they
no,
feel
they're
comfortable
asking.
With.
They're asking why she made a stylistic choice that is a very like that's a big choice.
I mean, the reason she I had assumed she made that choice it was because it was in Iran, but instead it was just like just a foreign language film that was filmed in America. I mean, it's not really that big of a deal.
It's not a big deal in the final product, but when you think about the logistical issues that you would have to confront when you're making that movie as like an independent filmmaker, like
right.
That's a pretty big thing. Like, oh, we got to find actors that speak Farsi.
Uh-huh.
We got to find somebody that like wants to put out a movie with subtitles, which is already a fucking hassle.
Yeah. It would have been a lot harder to do filming a film in Iran.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. So
no,
I completely, I don't see.
It's got to be approved.
No, you see, I don't see any problem with the fact that she decided to shoot an Iranian film in Bakersfield. That makes sense to me. It's like, she's not going to shoot, you know, fucking titties out in fucking Tehran. Like, that shit is, you know, the way different.
One nude scene was a total tease, by the way.
Well, yeah, but it was still worth it.
Yeah,
super aware of that.
I was hoping there'd be more graphic.
Me too.
I mean, I was hoping there'd be dicks going in, but I say that about everything.
Yeah, we all want dicks going in, Vince. We've talked about this. It's not going to happen. We have to stop wanting dicks to go in because we try and pretend we live in that world. We're forever going to be disappointed by movies.
Yeah. Only I can fuck vampires because of the previously stated ability to fuck concepts. They're not real. This isn't the DeLorean, Vince. You can't fuck the DeLorean.
How much is she behind the idea that this was not is supposed to be in Iran? See, that's the only thing I don't understand. See, that I like if she
tricked me. My xenophobia was fucking. It was flaring up. I was like, "What's that stick of fucking sugar doing?"
Exactly.
I watched it and I just started drawing Muhammad because I was so pissed.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, these guys hate us and everything we stand. They hate freedom.
I don't understand this culture, and thus I'm afraid."
Yeah, I just I guess so. It's just not, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a stylistic choice.
Yeah, I don't think it was a particularly deep choice, but I think that like constantly probing into it so that you can put it back in its safe place, like that's fuck off.
It wasn't constant probing. It was just like, oh,
no, that guy tripled down. That
did you
like
have a reason? And she's like, fuck you. I can do what I want. It's like,
right,
oh,
response.
Yeah, okay, you're right. You can, but we're just
I mean,
curious.
Not for me. Obviously, I care deeply about what people want me to say. And I'll make it in any language you want. Just tell me in the comments section or the Twitter or the Tumblr.
I mean, I don't necessarily like the way that the person asked, but I don't know. It seemed like a fair question to not that you would they made a big choice and you
yeah
could have some sort
you
of answer for
you
it.
Gave him too much credit for the phrasing. I think it would have been interesting to be like, hey, does this make it easier or harder for you given that you're mainly heading for the indie circuit who probably likes subtitles, but it's going to limit you from a big release. Like phrasing it as an industry question is
right.
Different from what he did or she did,
yeah,
and I think is more interesting. You get a better answer if you learn how to write ask the right question.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I understood the artistic choice as I watched it because I was like, oh, because she's creating this. It goes along with the black and white thing. It's like, oh, it's just this weird place that is not in the world. You're like, okay. But Matt Lieb didn't get that. He didn't know what was going on. He's kind of smart sometimes.
how did anybody...
Not dumb! Like everyone says!
I'm smart! I want respect!
Did anybody else enjoy the fact that like the protagonist, or at least the male protagonist, was cool as fuck? Like I've seen so many like indie films where it's just like, oh, I'm so uninteresting. I hope something happens.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, he's even cool smoking cigarettes on a on a fucking bike, like a Cameron Vanini joke. like where does this guy get off?
Yeah, no, he was definitely rad.
And I like that he kept getting his cool taken away and still making it out of it. Like he got his car ripped off. And then, like, he was going to hook up with that girl, but it turns out it was just the drugs that he had gotten off of the dead guy.
Yeah.
Like, he keeps coming back. Like, it's kind of...
Yeah.
I thought that was...
Yeah.
I definitely enjoyed watching his dad do heroin a lot.
Oh, I was going to ask you. That was the only... That was, like, the only two things I wrote down. I was like, did this movie make you want to do heroin? And
listen.
And did they do the heroin correctly?
Life makes me want to do heroin.
Okay.
And no, they didn't do the heroin correctly.
No, what did they do
I
wrong?
Mean, they just kind of just shot up wherever. I mean, here's the thing. I suppose if you're like maybe a rheumatologist, then you can...
A cow doctor?
That's someone who studies Roombas?
Yeah, so it was, it's someone who knows where veins are.
Okay.
And then maybe you could just find a vein easy. But he was just like, he like wrapped the lady's arms in a belt and just kind of shot up in her wrist. And it's like, you can't.
So upsetting.
You
that was the worst rape scene I've ever seen.
Oh, that was the other thing. Didn't it make you wish someone had done that to you? Or
someone
came into your room and forced you to do smack?
Somebody tie me down, make me do smack. It does not count as a relapse. I will call the cops on you. I will pray and talk about it in meetings. But no, it doesn't count. Please tie me down. Do it. No, come on. No, just don't. Everyone stop. Stop doing it. Everyone's doing it right now in the front quarter.
Did you become Rodney Dangerfield of heroin jokes?
Yeah, right.
Oh, please. Don't.
No, please. Don't stop.
Take my veins, please.
They kind of did it wrong. But
so when they did the spoon where it was like a square, was that
oh, that's right.
That
was, no, that was right. Yeah, okay. You can do that.
Do
I don't
you
know
wait,
why.
Do you, have, like, do you inject it when it's all bubbling like that, when it's really hot?
No, you I mean, by the time you're sucking it into the syringe, it's gonna be cooled down a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, it's not boiling anymore. It's it's unboiling.
Okay.
And you usually don't want to like go directly from boiling to, into your body. But,
well, that's what I was wondering.
Well, usually it takes time. For the time, it cools down. Mm. Everything's fine.
I also didn't quite understand the dad scene where he's like comes in and he's like trying to shoot her up with heroin.
Well, I guess he wanted them both to have a fun time, which I appreciate. There's a guy who,
likes to have a fun time.
Likes to have a fun time. But I didn't really get that. It just seemed kind of like a way to kill his dad off.
Yeah.
Kind of like, oh, this will get the vampire mad.
Well, she was a social justice vampire.
She totally was.
And I think that's where, like, a weird part, maybe it was a misconception on my Western brain, but, like, I felt like the whole thing kind of felt like, I don't know. There was a cultural dynamic that was very, mm-hmm. It made it seem like, oh, they're a direct reference to gender politics in Iran.
That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
That's the next question in this interview if you guys want to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. How does she answer it? Again. Fuck you! Ask me questions! What the fuck? I hope that's how she answered.
Again, I don't think he asked the question the best, but okay. In the movie, the girl walks around at night and sometimes attacks violent, predatory men. Did you intend it to have feminist themes? Well, did you interpret it as a feminist movie?
Yeah, that's a dumb question.
Obviously.
Even if the core of the question is good and interesting and could lead somewhere, that's a dumb way to ask that question.
It's not a great way to ask that question.
Who are these interviewers? Do your fucking jobs.
But that's,
like, make for interesting
honestly,
pieces.
Like, try and... Like, if you ask a question that's confusing to them, you get, like, no answer on these things.
Yeah, and to be real with you...
They dumb it down to, like, a child. I don't know. I hate to excuse you.
Did you write these questions?
No,
is this your interview?
Absolutely not.
I mean, as someone who interviewed Johan from... from Linkin Park about his movie Mall, and did what was quite possibly the worst interview.
No, I love that interview. It's my favorite
of all time. I will say it is really hard to ask questions to someone who you respect.
Did you respect Johan?
Well, I'm not in Linkin Park.
It's true.
He's got when he answered, he was like, "Everything you say to me."
Listen to the end, and I'm about to Mall.
So her answer is yeah or no. Did you interpret it as a feminist movie? Yeah, I did. That probably says more about you than it does about me. A film is like a mirror. What I connect with in a movie is my own stuff. So consciously, no. It's more about how surface are not what they seem.
Huh.
There's more than meets the eye to people. It's not just women. It's everybody. Everybody in the world in the film, in my mind, is much more than what you see on the surface. All people underneath have strange, weird secrets inside. And when you get to those things, it makes you reevaluate the outside and reevaluate your assumptions. That's what I'm interested in. It's not just an ism. All those things confine your thinking because they tell you this is what it is and then it's done. I think everything just has to be considered on its own individual space and time.
I'm glad she's getting this out in her first movie, you know?
Yeah.
Because
that's
like,
a good point.
Yeah.
Because this is pure fucking film theory shit that, like, it's regurgitated in your brain right now. But when you start having to make money on your films, you will be a lot more pointed.
And when she synthesizes, when she starts turning that stuff into, like, her own thing instead of, like, just sort of referencing it and being like, it's a metaphor.
It does sound all like the safest answers
different
you could possibly give.
Samurai! But like, she's gonna do good work because like some of the stuff in there has enormous potential and it's not very deep right now.
Yeah, well, I hate that answer where it's like,
what did you see in
the film's whatever you saw in it? Like, I just trying to.
No, it's not. You can't like, say you had no intentions.
I fucking hate that.
No, I
don't know why I did it.
I mean,
do you have to do press tours? That seems just like a hell.
Yeah.
Why would you? Could you just be like,
gotta promote the movie?
Do you have to?
Well, because
you want people to promote
the movie, but the way they do it is not the best way. The press tours are not ideal, but they haven't really come up with a better
substitution. So Q&A sessions at the end of the screening need to go away.
Right.
That's not
fucking
useful.
Intolerable. Yeah.
And then the pre Q&A.
Intolerable? Everyone's getting shot. If you go into this line, you will be shot.
Intolerable.
My question is that, like, have we been spoiled by the idea of, like, dynamic American film directors and producers and writers, where it's like, all right, not only are you selling the thing, but you're also selling yourself, and thus, like, Tarantino's a brand. You can't divorce him from his movies. Mm-hmm. He's as dynamic and interesting as he is in, you know, on fucking panel, as he is as a director.
But
we kind of respect that.
And not only
they all have like reasons for their shit.
Yeah, because we want a celebrity in every aspect.
Also,
The director also needs to be a big star that we can recognize the name and say, "Oh, did you see the new blank? Did you see the new Whedon movie?"
But
like,
he's
just a fucking dude playing with toys.
Yeah,
like, leave him alone.
I personally like it when the director is somewhat has a perspective or at least some point of view that you
just
can
something
kind
to
of
say
something to say, and you can kind of point back to it and go, oh, yeah, that's very Tarantino, or
yeah, that's the impulse that it makes you feel smart in conversation.
It doesn't make me feel smart to say that. It's I know what that person does, and they do different versions of that in their movies.
All right.
There's some examples I don't like that's why I can't enjoy any Wes Anderson movies, because I just don't like what he does, and it sucks because he always does a different version of what he does. But at the same time, I can imagine what it's like for people who just hate Tarantino to be like, yeah, all those movies suck a dick because they're all super Tarantino-y.
Or like Cronenberg always has one totally unnecessary graphically violent shot in every movie.
Yeah, or like you know, David Lynch and stuff, like people, you know, who have like directors who have like voices and something to say. And
but outside
and
outside of but that's the work speaking their personality.
Well,
that's different. That's different than trying to extract that in an interview.
No, for
as
sure.
Supplemental material,
for sure.
Like, and I think I love that. Like where you see someone, like you see nuance and like weird idiosyncrasies come through when you look at their work as a whole. I love that.
Yeah.
I don't want some dipshit being like, so what would you say your top three idiosyncrasies are?
Right. Yeah. That's, I mean, especially in a context of a press tour interview. But it was a shitty.
What do you, would you say your top three idiosyncrasies are?
My top three idiosyncrasies?
Yeah.
Ooh,
what makes you a celebrity
question?
That we're interested in seeing in a dress?
What makes me a celebrity or what makes me an individual?
I know your top three idiosyncrasies off the top of my head.
Go for it.
No, I want you to...
No, I
want
to know what they
tell
are.
You if you're right or not.
I don't know.
All right. Farting.
Okay.
Flexing when I hug you.
Okay.
I
don't flex, I squeeze.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's flex. You make it harder for me to touch your heart with my body.
Okay.
Because you're scared.
I can go loose next time.
And third...
I just want to... I have the urge to dominate.
Mouth sounds.
You do.
Mouth sounds. Not a big fan of the mouth
and
sounds.
And you don't like mouth sounds. That's for sure. I mean, that's... You know, I hadn't even thought of it. That's... Yeah. I would put that at number three. I was going to say tearing up when you're laughing. Okay. These are just the little idiosyncrasies that make me love you. I fucking love you. Also, deep-seated insecurity. Deep. Everyone loves you. But you think they hate you. We all talk shit about you when you're not around. But it's all out of love.
You guys want to switch to emails?
Well, can I at least...
Yes, please.
I wrote some taglines
for
this movie.
Yes.
And it's all just shitty puns.
All right. Even better.
There's no such thing as a
shitty
pun.
There's no such thing.
So
I wrote toaster oven, more like slowster oven, hashtag Pop-Tarts one time. It's a killer pun.
That's on record. That's written down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even said it before.
You could search that. You could search.
There's a worse joke that Laramie made today.
Yeah?
What is it?
He said, more like Cinco de Willow. Am I right, people?
What?
I was like, I don't even know what that means. And he's like, because it's not may I, bro. It's I will, bro.
Jeez, that is, that's so bad.
Yeah,
that's
pretty bad.
More like Laramie illegal.
Sorry, go ahead, OJ.
All right. A woman walks alone at night, also known as 500 Nights of Summer.
Nice.
A woman walks alone at night, a.k.a. Good Kid, Bad City.
Nice.
Yeah, he's kind
I
of
like
Kendrick Lamar.
I learned that the word bad is the same in English and Farsi, and totally coincidental to sort of happen there. Like totally different origins.
Crazy.
Yeah, I looked that up when I was like, what was that city they were in that was a word?
Bad.
Bad city.
A woman walks alone at night, she'll eat your feelings, or she'll eat her feelings by eating yours.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I like.
And I think
there's a lot of them, but you're finding the one you want.
Yeah. I want to hear the bad one.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I think that's it. Oh, well, a lot of them are just observations. I'm surprised you guys didn't notice. Oh, a woman walks alone at night, aka Persepolis 2.
I got one.
Right.
A woman walks alone at night.
Home alone.
A woman walks home alone.
Girl. That's a girl, actually.
Oh, my God. A girl walks home alone at night, eating what she calls men's rights snacktivists. Huh? Snacktivists.
Hey, I love that pun.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Chill it up, bro. Yeah. Love
puns.
Love more.
More puns.
Yeah.
Can I say there's a part of the punk, like the punk side of me?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like the kid that grew up loving punk music.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like, oh man, she's on a skateboard.
I know. I know. She's on a skateboard.
She's over there skitching on a hearse.
Can I just say before we move on, I thought it was odd the way that the movie kind of just threw the dad away. They're like, oh, he likes heroin. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. That was
like, this guy's a piece of shit. He deserves to be eaten.
Yeah, I didn't like how they made him. I mean, I tried to come from empathy towards people who have addicts in their family destroying their lives and going like, okay, maybe it's nice to just kill off the addict. Mm-hmm. But there was part of me that was like, oh, I understand he's an addict, but why is he raping this girl with heroin? Like, I didn't understand, like, why. Like,
I thought he raped her with heroin because the son just, like, totally disowned him and, like, told him he was a piece of shit, and then he was, like, super depressed.
Yeah, but I mean, it really, the only reason that they did that was so that they could kill him off.
Exactly,
and yeah. I kind of was like, all right, well, whatever. And then I was like, but you know what? That must suck, so kill them all, I guess.
Well, I thought it was supposed to be purely for the reveal. I feel like the cat, though.
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about the cat?
Yeah. Like,
where was Grumpy Cat? Where was Little Bub? Why were we fucking with this bargain basement cat?
That's a very good point.
It had a good last scene.
Dude,
it did
I thought
a good
that
job
cat.
Looking around.
Yeah.
Oh, real yeah. hard to get a cat.
Yeah, but
I think that was a runner-up in the cinematic magic cat contest to Inside Llewyn Davis' cat.
Yeah,
like, I thought the cat was one of the strongest moments.
I've,
of the
okay,
whole movie.
Okay, I've expressed okay. my
but
demand
Little Bub
that
for sure should have played the cat.
You I've expressed my demand that all movies contain a magical cat before, mm-hmm. and I don't really care what the cat is as long as it's there and is magical. So I would have accepted maybe one of the hairless ones if they had to,
ooh.
Or like
that's
one of the
Egyptian.
Really fluffy, really fluffy ones.
Yeah. It's a Maine Coon.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Watch your language,
Maine
bro.
Coon cat.
I don't like you. I don't know, just the way you look.
I said it was a hard C.
You said it was a hard C. Sorry. You're just...
Matt Lieb, you listened to too much Kendrick Lamar.
I know!
I just want to say...
The blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. It's one of the songs. It's a great song. Go ahead, what did you want to say?
I just want to say that the magical cat scene, like single paw-edly, redeemed the movie for me.
So, where did he steal the cat from?
Oh, I got it.
I don't know, somewhere.
Kill him!
Wait, was that another fun thing that, or did I miss that?
No, he stole it at the beginning. I don't,
okay, good.
Don't
then I like
so.
That better.
Yeah,
I thought he was magic. Looking for it. I thought that was his cat, and then
I thought it was just a cat he found. Or yeah, I don't know,
because he's like snuck out of someone's fence.
He's cool as fuck.
He's cool as fuck. He walks around with a cat. Like, he's
my cat now.
Cool.
He says years and days.
Yeah.
Who does that? Yeah. Like, who fucking does that?
Hey, magic cat, that's mine now.
Yeah,
but would you if listen? I don't know your relationships with your dads.
Mm-hmm.
But
go on.
Was she pretty enough and good enough at skateboarding for her to like? You realize that she killed your dad, and you're just like, all right,
she is.
Let's still snuggle.
Yeah, I'm still down.
All right.
His dad seemed to have it coming in that scene. He was probably like, ah, yeah, my dad's kind of a dick. So
yeah,
and he did what?
She's really
he injected
hot.
Another person with heroin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she didn't want it. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to pretend to not want it when some broadcast fan eventually does that to me someday. I'm going to be like, no, stop. I just can't. But when they do, it'd be like, yeah, buddy. And then I'll
you're
die.
Already in hair handcuffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. That happened fast.
Belt was already tied against your arm.
Right, exactly. Oh, I'm just ready for it, I guess.
All right, so switching to emails.
Yeah.
Dear Frogcast, I work for a local news station. Everyone who's not on air hates it. Us behind the scenes folks made a series of terrible life choices to be here. And yes, some anchors talk in ridiculous news voice all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, a few weeks back, I was working the overnight shift. Truly the equivalent of working inside Brett's brain.
Not anymore. Now it's hot and fun in here. We're having a little pool party.
Chuck E. Cheese Yay, brain!
Ball pit!
And in a sleep-deprived state, I made a reference to an existential buffoon. The male anchor, a guy who's worked in TV news for the better part of 40 years and always talks in anchor voice, loved the phrase and decided to Google it. He found a Film Drunk article titled something to the degree of Discussing the Existential Buffoon and Will Smith's Dumb Wiener Kids. He read the headline out loud before he realized what it said. He may as well have read, They're called Wiener Kids, and your children may be hanging out with them.
That's great.
I laughed for 10 minutes and then cried for another 30. Fraud on, Tyler. P.S. I took a girl to see A Girl Who Walks Home at Night. I love how no one gets the title right. P.S. Took a girl to see A Girl Who Walks Home Alone at Night for a first date. Needless to say, I did not get laid that night, but we both kind of liked the movie. Really? Like, that seems like a good movie to get laid to.
Yeah, that's a very good, because you're both like, yeah.
I coincidentally, the title of the movie in Farsi is Ted.
Subtitle.
Totally coincidence.
Not even the same root word. Yeah.
If you can't handle me at my eating your dad, then you don't deserve me at my topless in the bathtub. Sorry.
Hey, Frock Crew. Vince, I was at your show last Thursday at the Improv. You were all great. And I have to say that the woman who Lee and Joe ended up making fun of was the fucking worst. Every time any of you guys said anything, she yelled something back. When you did your bit about whether or not your dog was a rescue, she must have yelled, yes, it is, at least 15 times. So I have two questions for you guys. First, what's the worst you've ever had to deal with from an audience member? Second, if you were dating someone and you took them to a comedy show and they did that shit, how attractive into quicksand related activities would they have to be for you to overlook something like this? Mm. You guys are great. Keep doing what you're doing and fraud on.
I feel like zero tolerance policy for that, because that's not something that's not coming home with them.
You mean
like if they're shouting things at the comedian, you better believe you will be that comedian.
There's a deep-seated personal issue when you talk to the comedian on stage like it's your friend, like across the couch from you, and a lot of people do that shit. Yeah. It's really weird.
You don't want to be dating.
Well, everyone thinks that they are helping. Everyone thinks that they're making the show better.
Right.
Everyone thinks that it's their right because they paid to be there. There's so much that goes into it.
Even when they didn't pay to be there, by the way.
Even when they didn't pay to be there, they're like, I am here. What am I? I'm supposed to have a good time. This is about me having a good time. And it's like, this is about you listening and laughing, but this is not about you having a conversation. And there's a lot that goes into a heckler's mind before they make that choice to be like, I'm going to say something. Sometimes it's purely just insecurity, like especially with males. Like dudes will heckle because they want to show that. Because
some dude on stage is demonstrating higher social value
than
them.
Exactly, yeah. And they just want to take a shot at someone just to be like, oh, yeah, take that. Or sometimes it's people who secretly want to be stand-up comedian. That's happened a lot, too. And for the most part, it's all unwelcome and is the worst. Yeah. Doesn't help.
It's hard to single out the worst because there's usually one at like every show.
Well, there's that guy that Brendan almost fought at yours.
That was definitely the worst.
Because that almost came to blows.
Wait,
and that definitely derailed
Brendan
my
almost
entire set.
Fought someone?
Yeah, everyone was screaming at him.
I think I have it on tape somewhere.
Wait, where was this?
It was at Milk Bar.
Brendan almost fought someone?
Yeah.
The guy, because he was doing that thing where he like
he did
responds.
It for Allison's thing too. He like he was heckling through sets.
Brendan was heckling?
No. Dude.
Oh,
some
and
dude.
Then, and then Brendan was like, shut the fuck up.
That's and the guy's awesome. And the guy's like, hey, no, man, I know stuff. And Brendan's like, nah, fuck you, shut up. And then I'm just on the stage, just sort of standing there like, cool, let's see where this goes.
When did this happen? This is wonderful.
Where are you from?
Yeah. Okay. That's great. I love that.
How long you guys been together? Oh, that's nice.
Wow, what a terrific audience.
Where do you work?
Let's break this down a little bit. Like, how... One, what was everyone's worst heckle? I was once at, where is it? this place called like the Monkey Bar or some bullshit on like 21st and Florida, down the street from
Mutiny.
Yeah.
And it was like four comics and two audience members, and they're hanging out by the bar, and then like this fucking huge, one of them was the hugest black dude that like makes me intimidated. I'm 6'4". This guy was bigger than me.
Yeah.
And he just like halfway through my esoteric set was just like, "You ain't funny."
Damn. Yeah.
First year in comedy really bitched me out.
Yeah.
I was just sad and afraid, and thankfully I had a comedian support, but it was the worst heckle I've ever
had. Do you think black dudes are harsher on other black comedians?
Oh,
this kind of seems that way to me. Yeah.
Because I don't know where they got it. I don't know where we got this cultural understanding that like comedy is supposed to be about emasculating and like castrating audience members from the stage.
Yeah.
But apparently that's like the prerequisite. I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone walk into a comedy club going, "I don't want to sit up front. They're going to make fun of me." No, they're not.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Only if you're being really annoying and making yourself part of the show.
And not even then.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times, not even then. Most people will avoid it to get through their act.
Right. You know? I'm terrible at like confronting them because I'm just like, I don't want to deal with this right now. I'd rather get through these jokes stop what I'm talking about to talk to this person who's probably not interested. That's the thing for me. Like, I don't, other than the time of almost getting in a fight, like, I don't have an interesting heckler story because hecklers aren't interesting. Like, that's the fucking nature of them.
I hate the ones that are like, they heckle and then you're like, "What?" And then you just say, "No."
Oh, yeah. That's why you have to go, you know, make fun of them for being a, you know, like, you know, there's a lot of like trite shit you could say and like stuff that's been done, hacks stuff too. But it's like, you got to have shit like that in your arsenal, like ready for people, especially those, the ones who are just like, "Hey, it's a fucking ass." And you're just like, "What's that?" And then you go, "Really? Really? Really, brave sir? You're just going to yell some incoherent shit out and then you're going to hide like a fucking heckler ninja?" And then you say shit like that. Yeah. That's all fucking canned fucking.
You got his Zuba.
Yeah. Yeah. But like.
That always happens too. Because.
For the most part, I have trouble because I'm like, I'm partially deaf in one ear, so I have real trouble hearing what people are saying.
Is that from heroin?
No, it's not.
Did you try to shoot heroin in your ear? Yeah,
that's when I discovered.
I heard sometimes people snort it. Maybe I could try and put it in my ear.
Listen,
hole.
You gotta try lots of different ways. Nah, it's from when I put Skittles in there. So I heard it taste good, like in your pussy dough.
Hear the rainbow.
My worst, in terms of like worst heckler, where the heckler just fucking got me, it was my first time at the LA Improv, and I was like, you know, fucking really wanted to do well, and it was a black gay man who, right when I started my set, "How are you guys doing?" And he said, I don't know. You tell us. You better be funny." And then I was just like, "Ah, well, if I can, all right." And then just like, from there.
You're doing bad.
Yeah.
Worse.
I had nothing, and it just went. And then my set just was garbage, and it was a hosting set too. So I was like, "Oh, I have to be here the whole night. That's fun." And then, like, it's just a lot of, like, I have a lot of memorable stories of just, like, trying to, you know, like, talking shit on a heckler. And I love those. Like, when you really get a heckler good, it's just like, oh, you do feel powerful.
Well, the weird thing is like, it does help. Because if you fucking kill them.
Oh, yeah.
That's the set of the night.
Yeah, that is.
All people will come up to you after your set.
Yeah.
I've had people, like, confused me with Kasim Bentley and was just like, "Thank you for taking care of that fucking that lady." She was sitting right next to me. I was like, "Oh, thank you for being racist and complimentary."
You're saying it was Kasim who would destroy a heckler and then they would think it was you because you're both black.
That's the other black guy with a beard who's a foot shorter than me.
Yeah, you look completely different. Yeah. That's so great. It's true. You can have like the best set because the one thing a heckler does do is it keeps you present. And like, there's a big difference between a set where you are just saying your jokes, which are good jokes. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying your good jokes. And one,
this feels like an attack.
Nice. I'm not attacking you. There's nothing wrong with your doing your thing. That's what you're supposed to be doing, is saying your good jokes. But then sometimes on nights, especially where you've, you know, said your good jokes over and over and they're starting not to be funny to you, and you're just on autopilot, then someone heckles or does something, and then all of a sudden you're back in the moment. And in the moment is always like where the funniest shit happens, you know? So that does...
Have you seen an improv show?
Well, okay.
In the moment, it's the worst.
But that's the thing. In the moment, sandwiched with shit where you've pre-written, and that works. You know? I mean, improv...
It's about, I think a big tenet of it is acknowledgement, right? Like there's something going on and you kind of have to acknowledge
it.
Because that's like the first rule of comedy. Like, you can't be an observer of the world if you're not acknowledging what the fuck's going on right in the room.
Exactly. And people, it's like then it's a facade. You know, any confidence that you project is a facade. Yeah, if like someone is just going, "Fuck this, man! This place sucks. Let's just leave." While you're like, and in the airport, the food is different. You know, it doesn't matter how confident you tell your airport jokes. If someone's just yelling in the back, and you're not doing anything about it. People are gonna kind of think, you know, like, "Oh, this is not real." So,
but at least you guys are prepared for it. When I get heckled, like I come out of my cubicle and go get like a little cup of water from the water cooler. I'm like, "Oh, did you see Lost the other day?" And like, "Oh, you see Lost the other day?" That's hard to deal with.
Someone did that to you? That's insane.
All the time. Oh. Lean over my shoulder like, "You code good."
No wonder you were a monster for so long. But now that you're
before
a shill.
You learn to love.
Yeah.
Before you learn to love the machine.
Yeah.
Next email.
Wait, what is that a reference to?
I don't know. Nothing in particular. Well, some people rage against the machine. Brett just learned to make it his mother.
Yeah, the machine's my mom now.
He breastfeeds from its knobs.
My mother. All right, what's the other email?
This one, I like that this one has no salutation at the beginning. Subject. So what kind of fucking car did Vince buy? body. Christ, I know Brett and Lieb are Bay Area Pinkos, but I think that's the first time I've ever heard someone mention they bought a new car, and exactly zero people asked what kind. That's sent from my iPhone.
That is the most emasculating email of all time. That's absolutely true. I have no interest in knowing what kind of car. When someone says, "Oh, I bought a new car," I'm always like, "Congratulations on your Honda Accord." That's my guess.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Was it a Honda Accord?
No.
Hold on.
It was equally boring.
Hyundai Accent.
Close.
Okay. Ford Focus.
It is also Japanese.
It's Japanese.
Yeah.
Hyundai's Japanese.
Oh, sorry. That's Korean. You're right.
Yeah. Honda.
Same thing. They all look the same.
The cars. Okay. Right. All right. So I wish I could whistle better. Can you add that? Okay. Anyways.
You can get a more masculine whistle.
I don't know if it's weird. I don't know if
tweet. Kia?
Is it too weird to tell people? It's a Mazda. Yeah. I won't tell people what kind. But yeah.
Elantra.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that guy would have liked that answer.
Right. I don't
if
think
somebody
so.
Yeah. was just like, "Oh, what'd you car you get?"
And then small one.
How many pistons?
You got a little car. It's got small wheels.
How many pistons does it have?
Because it's like when your goal in buying a car is like, "Well, something that I can park in the city," and like, "Oh, I want to fit my stuff in the back." Like, you definitely have functionality your way out of like having like a cool car that people are interested in.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, it's a fucking, you know, it's a box for my things that I can stick near the curb.
Exactly. This is not for anything but getting around and putting stuff in and parking better.
Yeah.
Anyways, cool
Mazda.
Email.
Yeah.
Bro.
I mean, that was an accurate criticism.
Acura.
We are fucking right, Pinkos.
I ride to work on the backs of the proletariat. So
what did he call Pinko?
The Bay Area Pinkos.
Bay Area Pinkos. That's like the longest euphemism for just calling us gay wads that I've ever heard.
It's equally effective.
Yeah, no, it hurts more, weirdly enough.
Last one. Hi, people from the Frogcast. I listen regularly, and from time to time, Vince will share a crazy news story from Australia. He misspelled that. And as funny as they are, you are missing some crazy ones from your neighbor in the south, Mexico. Just a couple of... He put the accent over the E, so I thought I had to pronounce it.
Yeah, Mexico. Okay. Also, it's Cinco de Mayo right now.
Yeah, si. My stepdad's Mexican, if I mention that.
Yeah. Cool.
What's up?
That makes you half nothing!
just a couple of examples. There's one from 2 years ago about a mayor who faked his death in order to escape a trial for raping a girl. So just 5 years later, he runs again for mayor of another town using his same name, and he wins. And by the time everybody found out, it was already too late. He had jurisdiction. He can't go to trial.
What? That's insane.
Feliz cumpleaños, Matt. Mátame.
Why do you say Matt?
Because it's your tagline.
Es tu cumpleaños.
Oh,
puto.
That's happy birthday.
Yeah.
I'm fucking 30, bro.
Mátame.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
That's amazing. Though I don't like the fact that maybe
I mean, not the part where he raped a girl.
I don't think that's the worst sort of avoidance of justice that might be happening south of the border.
Yeah,
true. When you know,
I just I get real tight when a white country, a person from a white country. Is
oh, hey, the TV's
like,
on.
When a person from the white country does what?
It's just like, hey, did you see what this happening in Mexico?
Yeah,
right.
I thought maybe he was just a broadcast listener from Mexico. And I was like, oh, that's great.
I think he is.
Oh,
is
that's
it?
Great.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well then, rock on.
Yeah, rock on.
Fraud on.
Fraud on,
yeah,
motherfucker.
Yeah, his name's Hispanic, so I'm going to assume.
That's a weird assumption to make, but... I bet you're right, though. I mean, that's why he's mentioning it.
He spelled Mexico with an accent.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
He just has that on his keyboard, you know?
Yeah.
Next to the, like, taco crumbs.
I like, you turn on the TV. Is it for the Warriors game?
Yeah.
Oh, tight.
Yeah. So anyway, we're wrapping it up anyway, and I wanted to see what the Warriors score was. Go, Steph.
I also enjoy sports.
He does. He's not lying about this, though. That's the thing.
I don't care about basketball. Okay. I try.
No,
I don't.
Come on.
I love basketball, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see the Clippers win the basketball.
Why would you say the Clippers?
Go Clippers! Yeah. Fuck yeah! Right. No.
Warriors.
Warriors.
But yeah, no, I'm down with that. Clippers for sure. But you know, it'll probably be Warriors. I would love the Warriors to win, but Clippers. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Go Warriors. Okay, on that note, Brendan like even watched like three movies and he got stuck
in
a call.
He tried really hard.
He tried this week. Close to coming.
He tried this week, he actually did the homework.
Yeah. He got an app to park his car.
Yeah.
He downloaded an app
to park near my house because it's hard to find parking. That's why we're all Bay Area.
You know, I've been here the whole time and no one has asked me a fucking question.
What's your name?
Oh, this is Brandon from Fremont.
Okay. And so what did you think of that movie, The Girl Who Walks Home?
Well, you know, first of all, she did not walk home alone most of the time. She had company. That was my first problem.
And you think that's
second
a problem with the
they were speaking, you know, Arabic the entire time. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is very obviously Bakersfield. I know this.
It was too on the nose for Bakersfield, do you think?
What's that?
Have you spent a lot of time in Bakersfield?
Half my family's from Bakersfield.
Okay.
All of by the way, from Fremont is my last name. I think you guys got me confused for someone who actually lives in the town of Fremont.
So Brandon from Fremont from Bakersfield.
That's right.
Okay,
my name is Brandon from Fremont, and I grew up in Bakersfield. Most of my family's there.
What do you think is the best thing about growing up in Bakersfield?
I would have to say just the sex with different types of women. One time I had a friend who just... suck Skittles out of her wife's pussy.
Was there a lot of sex with Persian women?
Oh yeah, there's lots of Persians there. They call it the Tehran of California, Bakersfield. That's right. It's the same place.
Now, do they also use Skittles in the sex, the Iranian women?
Oh, you know, I don't really know. I don't really. It's a different culture. I don't really mess with that kind.
Okay, yeah. They're in the same town, but it's very segregated.
Oh yeah, very segregated. I mean, we built a fence just to make sure they stay in their little box. Anyways, I gotta go. White power, you guys.
That was Brandon from Fremont from Bakersfield. We'll try to get him back on the next show. He drives a truck, and it's hard to park in this neighborhood.
Yeah, he could only come for a second. That's too bad.
It's true. I only come after a second. So.
That's great.
On that note, we're going to put this one to bed. Thanks to OJ Patterson. Where can we find you in the world, on the internet?
I don't know, man. This game is riveting. You know what you can do?
You can go on Twitch.
Okay.
.tv.
Yeah.
And then you can put a backslash on that some bitch.
Yeah.
Twitch.tv/.
All right.
Then you could put super. Right? And then you could put trash. And then you can put ED after that trash.
Trashed. Super trashed.
And then you can put bros.
Twitch.tv/
super trashed bros.
Okay.
That's dope.
I like it.
Yeah, that's where we can find you.
Are you always playing Smash Brothers?
We are having monthly tournaments of the newest Smash Bros. At Soda Pop Penske's in San Francisco.
Nice. Can people go to that? Should they be in? Is it a public thing?
It is a very public thing. Come through.
Yeah.
Drink up.
Say hi to OJ.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Eat the beans.